episode 7 of Role Play Grow, the podcast for tabletop entrepreneurs, creators, and fans. I am Courtney Stover of the Lightheart Adventures, and in this podcast, we talk to the creators behind the brands in the tabletop roleplay gaming space about who they are and how they are turning their passion for gaming into a career. Today's guest is a very talented cosplayer and writer, Serendipity. She discovered the cosplay scene back in 2017 and has been growing in her skill and her following ever since. We talk about closet cosplay, keeping it affordable, growing an audience, tips for keeping up with motivation and dealing with the unfortunate trolls, and how she's breaking into the writing industry as well. I really enjoyed chatting with Sarah, and if you are thinking of getting into cosplay, then you should definitely keep listening to hear her words of wisdom. Before we jump into today's episode, there's a few items of business to discuss. The first is a reminder that we do have a Patreon for Lightheart Adventures and Roleplay Grow. It's a pretty cool place. If you have options on whether you'd like to follow the adventurer track, which gets you some maps and adventures, or the merchant track, which gets you some fun bonuses around this podcast. If Patreon isn't your jam, then you can also support the show by subscribing, sharing with your friends, and leaving a review. Reviews are super important for the show to be able to keep growing. So if you have been hanging out and you like what you're hearing, please drop me a review on your podcast platform of choice. Lastly, I just want to give a quick shout out to my favorite coffee company, Found Familiar. If you like coffee, D&D, really cool art, and supporting the artists that make that really cool art, then you should absolutely check out their coffee. They make really delicious coffee that I am very spoiled on having now, and all of their packaging features some really gorgeous art. If you use code LIGHTHEARTADV at checkout, you will receive 10% off of your order and help support the show. Okay, without further ado, it is time to meet Serendipity. I am so excited to introduce you all to today's guest, the very talented cosplayer and writer, Serendipity. Sarah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. Thank you for such a lovely, warm welcome.
I'm just really happy that you're here.
I'm glad that you invited me.
So to start things off, can you just tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got into the gaming space?
Yeah, I am a cosplay and writer, like you said. I started with cosplay first as like a hobby, you know, cosplaying all kinds of characters, gaming included. And from there, I met people who were like into gaming, like in the TTRPG sort of space. And I had never played any at all before. And they got me into podcasts that were like actual play, and they got me into playing my first like D&D game. And then from there, I got into like the, how can I play around with this now? And let me try making my own stuff and trying to DM and trying to write stuff here and there. So it was like a domino effect of one to the other.
So are you playing in any campaigns right now?
I am. I'm in my very first D&D campaign ever. Like, usually I've played games that were like one-shots or they were going to be campaigns, but they fizzle out, as is the tale as old as time. Mm-hmm. But I'm in my first one ever that has been continuous, and I'm so excited. I'm playing a paladin, and I'm having so much fun with it.
Oh, that's super fun. Do you usually go for like a paladin kind of character? Or?
No, I usually go for rogues. Pretty much like the first two or three characters I made were rogues. I like being sneaky and trying to not get hit. And then when I got into this campaign, there was already a rogue. So I was like, let me try something I've never played before. And I went with paladin. The one who's always trying to get hit.
Yeah, it's definitely a big shift.
Yeah. But I really like it. Like, try different classes. It's so fun.
Yeah. So you said that cosplay came first. So when mm-hmm. were you first introduced to just the idea and the world of cosplay?
Probably way back in my teen It wasn't that long ago. When I was probably in, like, I don't know, high school or something, and I was back on Tumblr in those old days, and I would see, like, cosplayers come across every now and then, and I thought it was so cool and that they looked amazing, and I really wanted to try it for the longest time, but never really could. I guess I could have, but I didn't have a reason to just, like, do that final push and try it. Until 2017, some friends invited me to a convention for the first time. So at that point, when I said yes, I was like, I'm going to go all in. I made a costume for every single day of the con. And
oh, wow.
After that, it was, yeah. I don't know why I went so hard from the very beginning, but I was like, I got to get that experience. I want to try as many different costumes as I can while I'm there. But I loved it, and I just kept going after that point.
So what were your first characters that you did that weekend?
All right, so my very first lineup was Storm from X-Men on the Thursday of the con, and then on the Friday of the con was Katara from Avatar The Last Airbender, and then on Saturday it was Emerald from Ruby, I believe. And then the last one was Princess Jasmine from Aladdin on Sunday.
Okay, that is a really good and really varied lineup. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was all over the place. I was so excited. Like, the experience of being at a con for the first time and, like, having people stop you and say, can I take a picture, is so, like, validating and exciting. It was great.
Yeah. So for those first costumes, did you make any of it yourself? Did you go and find pieces? Like, what was that like at the beginning?
For the most part, it was like I thrifted pieces of clothing and then would modify them really poorly. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. I wasn't very good at sewing. I'm still not that good at sewing, but I was definitely, like, bad at it then. So most of them I started with, like, and this is usually the way I approach cosplay even now. I think I'm just better at making it look not so, like, sloppy. But the first time I did it, I just went thrifting, bought stuff that looked like very basic bases of what the characters wore. And then I would cut them and add to them and stuff to make them look more like the character. Some of them, I think, came out way better than others. I think from that lineup, the original one, Ruby, the Emerald from Ruby and Jasmine from Aladdin, I think were better than my Katara one, which is why I recently remade Katara. And then the Storm one, I slightly modified a costume I bought online. It was like a Black Widow costume or something, but I turned it into a Storm costume.
Okay.
Yeah, it was all about, like, just turning one thing and do another thing the best I could.
Yeah. So that was back in 2017. That was your first con, your first lineup.
Yep.
What have the, you know, next three, I guess almost 4 years now, what has that looked like for you?
It looked like, it's been kind of crazy because after the first con, I was like, I love this, but, like, I didn't really know where to go from there immediately. Like, the friends that invited me to the con, I really didn't get to see them that much at the con. So I spent a lot of the con alone. And, like, even then, they're not, like, active in the cosplay community. They just do it for cons. So, like, after that, I wanted to go back to cons and stuff. And I wanted to meet more cosplayers. But I really didn't know any. So I made my Instagram account pretty shortly after that convention. And I just started following people and seeing who, like, inspired me and who cosplays from things that I'm interested in. And I just tried to get my foot into the community and start meeting people. And then I've seen, like, a lot of them as inspirations for how to, like, approach having a cosplay page and work with other people. And I just started doing random, like, closet cosplays because that's what I was seeing people do. And I was like, that's fun. And it just kind of got me out of my shell and made me start trying stuff and, like, just going with characters that I wanted to cosplay because I like them. I think I've come a very long way from who I would cosplay back then to who I would cosplay now. back then I felt like very much in a box to be quote unquote safe. I would like only cosplay characters who have a brown skin tone, for instance. I think, was that lineup? Yeah, Storm, Emerald, Jasmine. It was like that sort of thing. And then also only characters that are like well-known enough for the most part. But slowly I started easing out of that and just started doing whatever I wanted to do. And that's pretty much where I'm at now. And it's a very nice place to be.
Yeah. Some of your, I mean, I only kind of stumbled upon you recently. And so just everything I've been looking at has been from the last 6 months or so. And it's just, they're so fun. They're so good.
Thank you. It makes me so happy.
Yeah. You look like you're having a lot of fun with it. So is the majority of what you're doing these days closet cosplay?
I would say before the pandemic hit, I was making like full cosplays a lot more because I wanted to like go do shoots with my friends or go to conventions or whatever. But since then, I've been doing a lot more just closet cosplays, what I have, so I'm not spending extra money to get the materials to make new stuff. There's a lot going on. I want to save my money right now. If, you know, it was for a con or something specific, I could justify to myself to like buy a bunch of stuff to make something fully. But since we're in such a place right now where that's not possible, I think it's best for me to just like save money and do, yeah, closet cosplays for the most part, or like makeup looks or that kind of thing.
Right. So when you think a lot about growing a following for being a cosplayer, what would you say is found that you found that has helped you to grow that visibility over the last couple of years?
Definitely like being a part of the community, like not staying, you know, off to yourself, posting and leaving, you know. I think it's good to like find people that you're interested in, like what they do, you know, interact with their stuff too. Like, how can you expect anyone to interact with what you do if you don't interact with anyone else? In addition to that, I had like a couple things kind of blow up that brought people to my page. So I guess there was a lot of luck involved as well. Yeah, I think it's a combination of just like putting in the effort and luck.
Hey, that's fair.
Because like sometimes you get really lucky, and not saying that I have like a bunch of followers because I'm lucky, and that's the only way that luck, people can be like putting a lot of work in and stuff. And the luck comes when like if someone who, I don't know, someone who works on a show that you were cosplaying for or whatever happened to see it and share it, that sort of thing is what I mean by like the luck.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know that it involves a lot more than, you know, quote, just putting together a costume and taking some pictures. So can you walk us through from the time that you have an idea of what character you want to do all the way to the point that you're publishing your photos and your videos? Like, what are all of the steps that you take?
Oh, yeah. So it definitely starts with like me liking a character. And once I decide I want to cosplay them, I'll use like a Aizawa Eraserhead from My Hero Academia as an example, because I can visualize that process in my head at the moment. I decide I want to cosplay him. And then like the next step was deciding like what version, because he has like superpowers or whatever. So like when he's using his superpowers, his scarf is flying all around and his hair lifts up and his eyes go red and like that kind of stuff, I think. So like I could do that, or I could do just regular when he's walking around normal. The second step for me is like deciding what version of the character I want to do. And then from there, trying to figure out how to make it happen. If it's something wild like that, where his scarf is flying around, I decided I wanted to do that version. So I was trying to decide what is a feasible way for me to be able to walk around with a scarf suspended around me. So yeah, that's a whole planning process where that ends up with me doing a bunch of research whenever I'm trying to figure out how I want to actually implement something. And I spend a long time trying to figure out just what things are, because I think I mentioned I'm not like any skilled crafter, like by trade specifically. So like, it takes a little bit of Googling for me to find out what it is I'm looking for. It could be like a material that I don't know the name of or something like that. So yeah, lots of research and looking at the references of the art and stuff. And once you get all that done and I get to like actually making it, I go through and do all of that. Lots of testing, lots of rearranging and fixing the inevitable errors that I make. And then, yeah, from there, once you have a finished cosplay, I finally do like my test and see how it all looks and get the makeup right and how I want it to look and all of that. And yeah, from there, now I'm ready to actually like shoot the content and take pictures and videos and stuff. And what that's like for me is usually I'll think about or like look for moments from the show or podcast or whatever it is that really stood out to me, and like put a specific visual image in my head, and I try and reenact those. So I'll take a few of those sort of pictures, and then I'll take some just like standard poses, some selfies, like side by side sort of material where I can be like, look, I'm doing the same pose that he's doing right next to him. Mm-hmm. Look how we look alike, sort of thing. So I take a range of things. And as for videos, I do a lot of TikToks and stuff. I definitely get really into it when I'm making videos, sort of try and embody the character and their personality. And that's always fun to try and figure out. Some of the characters are like really wild and like chaotic compared to like how I normally act. And it's kind of fun to just have a separate moment where I can just be ridiculous. Yeah. And when I'm making videos like that, I'll just shoot a bunch of stuff and save it for later and, you know, get to posting them periodically whenever. And then some photos I like to do like crazy edits for, because I have a lot of fun editing pictures, even though it is another one of these skills that I've just sort of picked up and I'm not like perfect at, but I like experimenting with it.
What are some of the techniques that you like to do in editing?
I don't have a lot to work with here when I take pictures. I tend to do a lot of, I think it's called compositing of the backgrounds, I think, to change it to be like in a more appropriate environment for the moment I'm trying to capture in the picture, rather than just being in front of like a white or black screen or whatever. And I love like lights when there's some cool looking dramatic stuff going on with the lighting in pictures. I love playing around with that. Sometimes I cannot get it to look how I want it to, but sometimes I'm really happy with it. And that, I don't know, that's probably one of my favorite things. Well, the special effects sort of stuff is really fun to play with and try and figure out how to do.
So you are doing your own photography, I guess, these days. Were you also doing your own photography before the pandemic?
For the most part, a lot of my photos were taken at cons, either by friends or like specifically photographer friends who offered to for me, which I'm so grateful for. Mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of the same recurring ones if you like scroll far enough on like my Instagram, for instance. Actually, I've had a couple people take pictures of my Spider-Man, Miles Morales Spider-Man, but Beyond Infinite Media on Instagram is one of them. And the same person also took like my Eraserhead ones. I've also had a friend, their Instagram is Nooklets, who took some Spider-Man pictures. Those two, and then my sister, who doesn't live here anymore, so she cannot be my photographer anymore anyway. She would take a lot of my pictures too. So it was mostly like my friends who would take the nice high quality pictures of me. And then all the like lower quality pictures are usually just pictures I took either by setting my phone up somewhere or like taking a selfie or whatever. So yeah, it's a lot harder to get good quality pictures from myself now than it was before, but I'm trying to learn little by little.
Yeah, I wanted to ask kind of what you've been able to figure out on taking your own pictures that don't look like just, you know, arm above head selfie.
Yeah, definitely helps to have like a tripod. That has helped me a lot. Getting the camera further away from me. I'm taking them all on my phone, but improving the lighting really helps. Even though it's not great for photography, I have a ring light. That's the best I can do right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just little things like that. The lighting helps. Not using front camera helps, even though I still do it all the time because I'm just, I need to see it while it's happening. And if I can get myself out of the habit of needing to see what the picture looks like while it's being taken, I feel like it'll be even better quality, but so far I'm not winning that battle.
So are you just using the timer on your phone? Do you have the little button attachment?
Yeah, I have both. I tend to just use the timer though, so I don't have to like hold anything. Because whenever I do have to hold something, I forget to hide it well enough sometimes. So I've been using the timer a lot. And trying to use like the better modes on my phone. I think it's portrait mode or whatever for my phone and see if that helps at all. Probably not, but yeah, I've just been trying whatever. And then like really the best I can do is fix a lot of it in post when I'm editing them.
So you've got your phone, your tripod, your ring light. Do you have any other equipment that you used, like to help with backgrounds or lighting or just whatever programs you're using for editing?
Yeah, I found a few different backdrops on Amazon that I like to switch out. I have like a stone wall one that's I use for a lot of my selfies, but also for like fantasy characters sometimes. I just got a few more. That one's like a wooden panel wall. One's a kind of like a shower of lights in the background sort of thing. So I'm going to try and switch those out more, give some variety. And then I have the LEDs that I can change the color of the lighting.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I use Photoshop just to play around with my photos. That's basically my setup. I'm not working with too much crazy stuff.
Honestly, I think that is awesome. Sounds like it makes that more just affordable and kind of easier to manage.
Yeah, it's just better. I would only use like the plain colored sheets or whatever hanging on my wall before. And I still do sometimes, but like just having some variety of what's behind me is kind of nice. I can only look at a white sheet for so long before I'm like, I need to change it up.
That's fair. So is there any difference in your either design or process if you were going to be making a costume for just a photo shoot versus going to a convention?
I think it depends on if it's like a one-off, like I really have a specific idea. I want to take a, I don't know, very specific picture of like this one character, but like I don't really have any desire to cosplay them again after that, then I might not go as, I guess, elaborate with the details maybe as I might if I was doing it for a convention or like a character that I like enough that I would cosplay them again later. And I'd say that's happened a few times, mostly with like meme-y sort of cosplays or like a Halloween costume sort of deal or something. Like this past Halloween, I made Hitmonchan from Pokemon, but like, I'm not like obsessed with Hitmonchan. Like I need to wear this to a con or anything sort of thing. So I wasn't doing anything too specific planning wise with the costumes. I'm just going to make this look as much like it as I can. When I'm planning for like a convention, it's usually because I want to like take pictures with my friends or the location's really good for that character or something. So I'll definitely plan around that sort of thing in those situations. If I'm gonna be cosplaying with friends, I want to make sure like my version of the character is from like the same season or whatever as my friends, so that we can do like reenactments of something that happened or something like that. So I definitely think I take more into account in the situations where I do want to do things with other people or rewear it, because then I just want to appreciate the work that I did at that point, as opposed to like do a one-off thing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely. Once we are able to go out in the world again and we have conventions, you know, is there any like particular conventions that you really want to get to that you haven't been to before?
Yeah, I really haven't been to that many conventions, like that many different ones. I've been to like 3 in my state and like 1 in PA out of state. I think most of them I've only been to for like one day. But yeah, I was actually, my whole big plan was once I'm done with school, I'm going to be able to go to more cons and like meet some of my friends in person for the first time. And, you know, long story short, I graduated in May last year. So I was done with school, but no cons. So yeah, I really have been wanting to go to like KatsuCon, because that's like a big one a lot of people end up going to. So I would have like a chance to meet a lot of people for the first time in person, and I would love to do that and hang out with them. So that's probably one at the top of my list just for that reason, because that's the whole reason I go to cons, to hang out with people that I would only get to see like a couple times a year.
Yeah, that's a really fun part, though. It's like, it's such a good excuse to nerd out and
have fun. And dealer rooms, I love them. I didn't used to like take advantage of them like I should, but the more recent cons I went to, I always hit up the dealer room and make sure I buy something.
I love the marketplaces so much.
Yes.
That's usually my favorite part.
Yeah. I also not recently, but the more recent cons made a habit that every con I go to, I buy a set of dice.
Okay. So how many sets of dice do you have now?
Now I don't have that many, because it was a more recent thing I started. I think I have maybe 8 sets of dice at this point. Not all of them from con. Some of them I had before I started doing that. So yeah, I have a nice little collection started.
Okay.
At least.
Yeah. 8's not that many. That's fine.
Yeah, it's not. I know people who have like so many more sets of dice.
Yeah.
That's like nothing. 8 is nothing.
It's really not.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just getting in the game. I have a lot of work to do.
So one question that I really like to just ask for all of these episodes is, what would you say has been the most challenging part as you have been getting into cosplay and you're growing this following on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok? What kind of challenges have you seen or faced?
Well, yeah, there's always, I guess with anyone, it's keeping up the motivation to make stuff like all the time, and finding a nice balance can be difficult at first, or like not even at first, honestly. Like I've been doing it for almost 4 years now. Even now, I still sometimes I'm just like, I don't even feel like looking at Instagram. Now, Instagram is not making it better by changing their algorithm every 2 seconds. But yeah, like finding a nice balance between making things, posting stuff, stepping back from it can be challenging because it's like you want to keep content going on one hand, but you don't want to burn out on the other hand. Another challenge for me personally is I've had, like I said, a couple instances where stuff blew up in ways I didn't expect. And sometimes that brings terrible people to you. And that is not great. You know, you get trolls and also just like, I don't know, racist people or like misogynistic people. Just everyone that shouldn't find you finds you if you have like anything get close to being viral, which is like it becomes a double-edged sword. I don't know. It's bittersweet. Like you want people to see your stuff and what you're making because you work hard on it. But sometimes if too many people see it, then that's when the bad people start showing up. So then you're in a place like, do I want people to see my work? And that's a frustrating position to be in. I think those are probably two big ones for me as far as challenges go.
I mean, I will address both of them. But so for the first one, what kind of steps have you taken to keep motivated? Like if you're having a day where you know you need to get content out there and you just don't feel like it?
Yeah. In a way, I like solved this problem long ago by like every time I do stuff for a character, I just make so much of it so that I can just pull something that I never posted later because I will have a ton of it. That is one way to start addressing it. But then sometimes I feel like, man, I haven't posted anything new in so long. And usually I just start watching stuff or playing stuff and be like, who's interesting to me? And then I put together like a closet cosplay. That's why I like closet cosplays, because you can really just work with what you have. I find it to be low pressure. And if someone wants to come on my post and be like, that's not accurate, I don't care anymore because it's a closet cosplay. It's not supposed to be. I'm just working with what I have and I don't mind that. And I feel like it's really fun to see closet cosplays because you can still like, you can definitely tell who they're trying to be and everything. And I just find that so cool. Like you can convey so much without being like perfectly down to the detail, correct with what you're wearing or whatever. So yeah, it's a mix of like having a nice backlog that I can reach back into when I'm not feeling it. And like just trying random characters and closet cosplay versions and not having to have a perfect finished look for every single person that I want to cosplay.
Yeah, I bet that reduces a lot of the pressure, like the self-pressure.
Yeah, for sure.
How often are you trying to get out a new character? Do you have a schedule or you just kind of do it when you have time, when you feel like it?
Yeah, I don't really have a schedule for it. I do like to like jump in with something new every now and then. But usually these days, it's more like whenever I feel like it, like when a character inspires me in some way or like speaks to me in some way is usually when I'll bust something new out. Because I'm like, I have to tell everyone that how much I like this character that I from this thing that I just started watching and see who wants to talk to me about it or whatever. So it definitely follows what I'm into at the moment a lot, too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So the other challenge that you mentioned is one that is unfortunately familiar to lots of content creators, and it's the trolls.
Yeah.
How often would you say you've had to deal with kind of a bad situation? And, you know, are there any tips that you've learned on how to deal with it? Is it just a matter of block and try to forget?
I think it's really hard to say and give like any useful advice. I feel like it's going to be different from person to person. Some people, when people say like super out there things to them or like super racist things to them or whatever, it really affects them, understandably so. I personally am, I kind of lucky in a way that like usually it doesn't get to me too bad. After a while, it sort of wears down, like, God, these people exist still, and they have to make sure that everyone knows it in that sort of way, I suppose, it affects me. So it's really hard to say how to deal with it. Blocking, yes, block them. Number one, whether it's affecting you a lot or a little, block them. Get them out of there. It's really hard to try not to think about it. Like I said, like it's weird. It affects me, but it doesn't, but it does. This doesn't make any sense, but this is how it is. It's, I don't know. It's really, really weird for me personally in that way, at least. It's going to be different for everyone for sure, but blocking is your friend, and I don't know. It's, yeah, I haven't found a good, great, fantastic solution for dealing with them yet. Definitely, I don't try to engage too much because that's just giving them more to, I don't know, work with or giving them a reason to continue. They want attention, and if you give it to them, they're going to keep taking it. So that's, I guess, some small thing is block them. Don't give them attention. Beyond that, it's really, really hard to say.
That's okay. Like, it really is different for everybody. And even for the same person, just a different day. If you're in a good space, I feel like it's a lot easier to deal with them. And if you're not feeling too great already, it's just...
You know what? Yes. What a good way to put my very confusing, it does affect me, but it doesn't, but it does. You nailed it there.
No, I understand.
Thank you for that.
Well, screw the trolls. Let's flip it around. Okay, so in happier side then, what would you say has been the most rewarding part of getting into cosplay?
I think for me, it's just like the satisfaction that comes with finishing a project and like seeing yourself all like in it all put together with the makeup and everything. It's just like a very satisfactory, like rewarding feeling to just have, even like no matter how you approached making it, you made the whole thing, you worked on it in some way, or like even if you like bought it, you found all the right pieces, you did the makeup. It's just really rewarding to be like, I love this character, and look at me all dressed up like them. It's just I can't really, it's hard to explain, but it's a very rewarding experience to see the finished product of something like that. Yeah, and also when you can go do like events with other people who are also cosplaying, it's a lot of fun to be able to do that. Oh, I remember at my first con, the day that I was dressed as Storm, there was like a dad and daughter, and the dad was dressed as Wolverine and the daughter was dressed as Laura from the Logan movie. It was so adorable, and the little girl ran up to me and they wanted to take a picture. So like precious moments that happen in like cosplay like events are also very nice, a nice thing about it.
Yeah. I want to spend a little bit of time now talking about your writing.
Yes.
So what can you tell us about that?
Like I said, got into TTRPGs and stuff with friends, but I've always been like writing like fiction. That's what I went to school for, creative writing. And that's what I just finished my degree for in May that I was mentioning. I got my master's of fine arts in creative writing with focus on fiction and also sort of a secondary focus on playwriting was in there. But yeah, being in an MFA program was very fun because they have you try like all sorts of writing, and which is exactly what I wanted to do. Because ever since I was in like high school, I would say was probably when I decided I wanted to be some kind of writer. At that point, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do with it. I just knew I liked writing. And at this point, I still don't know, but I've at least gotten to do things at this point. Yeah, I love, in general, I just really like storytelling and being a part of telling stories.
So what kind of stories are you writing these days?
These days, I'm kind of all around. I'm really interested in mundane superpowers. So like not flight or teleportation or super strength or whatever, but like really just the tiniest little things that you could pass off as not even being a superpower if you really thought about it. For instance, in like one story I'm working on, there is a guy that if he says a word enough times, like it starts to not, you don't understand what it is after he says it so many times. So he makes you forget what a word means for a little while. But that's like not that much of a superpower because like it's based on that whole thing where it's like if you say something enough times, it loses meaning or whatever. Hmm. So like stuff like that I find very fun to play around with. So I like writing stories where people have little powers like that. Or I'm really interested in mysteries, and one day I want to write a good mystery, but I feel like it's very hard. I haven't written a mystery yet, but I really want to.
Have you considered writing any campaigns or games?
Yeah, I've gotten to DM finally recently. So I finally got to start writing a campaign sort of situation. And that one was inspired by the TV show Survivor, in which your characters go compete on a game show that is broadcast, quote unquote, across the country or whatever, via like these scrying mirrors. So you can see what's happening as they're happening. It's funky scrying technology, but it's like a more deadly version of Survivor, but you still like do crazy challenges, which is where the like combat and encounters come from. And you have to like outlast everyone else. So there's like a system of voting people out, which I call marking them and that kind of thing. And I ran it already, so it's not like these are spoilers or anything to anyone listening. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That's like a whole different kind of writing, and I loved it because I had to, like, you know how DMs do. They have to react to what the players decide to do. So that's really fun to work with.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of improv.
Yeah, I love improv.
Well, whether it is cosplay, writing, or something totally unrelated, do you have any upcoming projects that you're excited about and were willing to share?
Sure. I would say, as far as cosplay goes, like I said, I'm just kind of like doing whatever comes to mind. So just, I encourage folks to just look at my cosplay stuff. It's always going crazy. And then writing wise, I'm really excited because I got to contribute in a little way to the Lost Omens Mwangi Expanse book that's coming out for Pathfinder.
Oh.
And that comes out in June, I believe. So, you know, if you end up getting that, you might see my words in there somewhere. And that's pretty crazy to me. yeah, I don't know. Those are the main things at the moment, I guess.
What were you able to write about for that, if you're able to say?
I helped with some world building stuff. So like different things about the location, some of the locations you can go to, not all of them, but a couple of the locations you can go to. So I got to like think of things that you might be able to like look, your players might be able to like look into to maybe to use as like plot hooks, that kind of stuff. Okay. Yeah.
That's really cool. Congratulations.
Thanks. I still can't believe it.
How did that connection happen? How did you get involved in that?
A friend of a friend told my friend that they were looking for, well, not even them specifically, but I think they were like freelancing for them and said that they were looking for more. So they told my friend, you know, if you know anyone, let me know. My friend reached out to me, and then I reached out to their friend, and then they directed me to who to actually contact. And that's how that happened. And that's more of that luck. Let me tell you.
I know, networking.
You're right, but like a little bit of luck, though. I mean, sometimes things just happen. Isn't that crazy?
Yes, but if you hadn't put in all of the amazing work ahead of time,
that's true.
It's not just luck. You are very talented.
I had to give someone a reason to suggest me, I suppose. Exactly. Huh?
Uh-huh. Well, Sarah, this has been really fun. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Serendipity Cause, Instagram at Serendipity Cosplays. Twitter wouldn't let me put the whole thing. I also have a Patreon if people are interested in cosplay stuff. I'm Serendipity on there. Patreon.com/Serendipity. I post a lot, so like I'm always on and about. I like to talk to people about like games and such. And, you know, of course, I'm always posting my cosplays here and there. So, yeah, you can find me any of those places doing all that.
Perfect. I'll definitely have all of those in the show notes as well. But thank you so much for coming on today. This has been a really fun chat.
Yes, it has. I go on tangents sometimes. So thanks for inviting me and letting me do that.
You can come and have a tangent any day.
Bless. Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for today's episode of Role Play Grow. To check out the show notes, you can go to lightheartadventures.com/RPG. To keep up with every episode, please subscribe on your podcast player of choice. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave me a review. Reviews are one of the best ways to help a newer podcast get up off the ground. To follow me on Twitter, you can either find me at LightheartADV for our business account, or at Ketra, WCR, to see me tweet about other things like my dog and World of Warcraft. You can also find us as Lightheart Adventures on both Instagram and Patreon. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week on Role Play Grow.